Evening, everybody. I don't know what your gut reaction is when you watch a DVD like that or a presentation like that. I don't know what it immediately says to you, what your gut instinct is, what your response is. When I watched it in preparing for this, it set my mind racing in about 1,000 different directions. Each of one could have went off at 1,000,000 different turns. Because on the one hand, it almost makes you just want to, when you hear those sort of statistics and when you hear about our level really of richness in a world of so much need, one of the first things you want to do is almost just sell everything you have and just get rid of everything and pretend that if you do that and you just sort of sell up, give everything to some sort of organization, that somehow you'll start to solve the world's problem. And then I stop and I think, and my response is one of hopelessness, if I'm honest. I think to myself, you know what, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much I give. There's always going to be someone else that's in need. I will never, ever be able to fix this. I will never be able to make this problem go away. And it almost just seems too big. It's like there's a world on fire and we've got water pistols and we're squirting at it trying to put it out. And then another part of my mind starts to think that it's really dangerous, you know, because what we can tend to do is we can relativize and we can reduce to nothing all of our own concerns here and now, because we can say, well, you know what, your problem doesn't really matter because look at the problem over here. And what we start doing and what we get into the trap of doing is either comparing ourselves to the person who is more worse off than us or who's better off than us. And it relativizes us and it makes our needs, our concerns almost irrelevant. And it can be used as a stick to beat us with and to make us feel guilty for ever being concerned for our world, our lives, and for the people around us. And the reality is there's only one person who tops the rich list. There's only one person who is right at the bottom end of the poverty scale. And the rest of us are somewhere in between. And we are called by God to be in this locality here in Dublin, but part of a creation that is groaning, a creation that Paul speaks about in Romans, that is just yearning to be made new. And so we have this global picture that puts us into perspective, but we also have the reality of our lives and our needs and our concerns. So my mind starts thinking about all of those sorts of things when I watch this on the screen. And I don't know about you, but perhaps one of your thoughts was also, well, God bless America. It's an American pastor. It's an American DVD. It's an American church. Presumably it's for an American audience. It's a problem that maybe America could solve. And it's not about us. Except for the fact that we're watching this DVD on our very nice digital projection system here in Dublin. And we're gathered in this sort of nicely lit room, and we all look reasonably well fed. And it's warm here. And when we came in, we had tea and coffee. And we're all sitting here fully clothed, thankfully. And you're listening to me, unfortunately for yourself, through this amplified system that goes through a sound desk at the back that costs a heck of a lot of money. And if you're really sad and you don't want to download music, you can go on to Core's website and download any of the talks onto your personal computer, which only 7% of the world have access to. And you can download it on the internet, which again, only 7% of the world have access to. And when you're done with that, you might want to either listen to it on your transferable MP3 player, which you can play through your hi-fi system or stick into one of your illegal FM transmitters when you're in the car. You get the picture. This is not about America. This is not America's problem. If you have average earnings in the UK or in Ireland, you're in the top 3% of the world's rich list. Top 3%. You know those lists that come out and it's like the richest people in Ireland or the richest people in America or wherever, if that list were to be read by the world community, you would be in the top 3 if you had average earnings. And maybe you don't have average earnings, maybe you have less, maybe you have more. I guarantee you wouldn't go too far above or beyond 3%. This is where we are. And you know, what we do is we're in this bubble of 3% and we compare ourselves to the Bonos and the Beckhams of this world because that's easier. That's our get out of jail free card because we don't want to compare ourselves to the 97% of nameless faces that we cannot be jealous of. I don't know whether any of you have read this book by David McWilliams, Pope's Children, or watched him on television recently. But it's really just an observation of life in Ireland in 2005 and 2006. And it starts off, with the title, Full On Nation. And it says this about Ireland. We have more cash in our back pockets than anyone else in Europe. We are better off than 99% of humanity. See, he's more optimistic than I was. I just put us in the 97%. We are top of foreigners' lists as places to live. Unlike many of our rich neighbours, in survey after survey, we claim to be very happy. We no longer need to beg from others in the EU. In fact, we are giving them cash. We are a success. We have money and time. Yet we are borrowing, spending, shopping, eating, drinking, and taking more drugs than any other nation. We are Europe's hedonists and the most decadent Irish generation ever. We are in the rich list. I don't care how much money you think you do or do not have. This is us. And so I thought I would try out a little test in this age of Irish opportunity and enterprise. Now I'm a student, so this test is not going to go too far. But I've got €10 here. Okay? And I'm willing to give this €10 right here, right now, to the first person to give me €1. Okay? Oh, there's a hand up. First person, you have to come up. It's the only catch. What's your name? Danielle. There you go, Danielle. Now you have to stay up here for a wee minute, is that alright? So there you go. Danielle got €10, and I got one. Well done, Danielle. Now, Danielle had to take the risk. I'll tell you what, you can take a seat. Danielle had to take the risk. Give her a round of applause. Here we go. The price is right. Come on down. Danielle took the risk. She deserved the biggest reward. I've got another €10. First person to give me €5 gets it. €5? Hendrik? There you go. Give him a round of applause. Not enough. But tell me this, do you feel ripped off? No. Were you happy enough to give me €5 to get €10 in return? Do you feel like you've done me a favor? No. Where's your focus? Is the focus on what you have just received? Or on what you've just given? Because our focus when we give into God, our focus is in what we have given. And we don't look at what we have received. In the video that we just looked at, it says that Rob Bell was telling us that everything we have is gift from God. The clothes that you're wearing, gift from God. The food that you ate tonight, gift from God. The last breath you took, a gift from God. The focus there was not on the fact that you gave me €1 or €5 because you'd gladly have done it. The focus was on what you have received. And everything that we have received. So why is it when we give 1%, 5%, 10%, 50% of what God has given us that we think we've done him a favor? You see, you didn't even really give me a gift. You gave me a thank you. You gave me a thank you. That's what we give God, a thank you. Now, all analogies fall short. There's absolutely no way in this world that we can outgive God. You could have given me €20. You can still give me €20. But we cannot outgive God. Now, I don't know, are any of you in here, okay? I have to confess tonight, I'm training for the Church of Ireland. Are any of you closet Anglicans? You maybe don't want to say it in public. It's okay. Closet Anglicans, Church of Ireland. Okay? Now, in the Church of Ireland tradition, in the Church of Ireland prayer book, it says this at the point of offering, when you give over a collection. It says this every time. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Say that with me, okay? Now don't panic. You're not going to be turned into prayer book parrots, and there's healing ministry at the end. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. If you feel nervous about saying that, it's in 1 Chronicles 29. For all things come from God. All we are doing is giving God what he has already given us. And unlike you giving me 1 euro or 5 euro, God says, you know, take that and give it to someone else. And it's the same thing as giving it to me in my service. We are stewards. These things that we have, these are not our possessions. These are our resources. God has given them to us as resources to be used, to share with a world that is needy. Because the reality is, God doesn't actually need our wealth. We are everything that we are by God's grace. His is the world and everything in it. But he desires our generosity. God gives graciously and generously to us so that we can give graciously and generously to others. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, Paul said, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanksgiving to God. You see, God's gift to us is that we might give to others. We can supply the needs of others. And this passage tells us that we will meet the other's needs and God's name will be praised. Now, I don't know about you, but I still go back to the start of the video and my reaction. You know what? Nothing I can give will ever be enough. But you know, it's no excuse for giving nothing. I don't know if any of you have watched the film or can remember the film Schindler's List. And at the end of the film, and Oskar Schindler has saved 1,100 or 1,200 Jews. And at the end of the film, he's leaving them. And he looks at their faces. And he breaks down in tears. Because he realizes, he thinks to himself, I could have done more. I could have saved more. And he looks at his car and he says, this car would have been 10 lives. He looks at the badge that he's wearing. He says, this badge, one life, at least one, maybe two. And the leader of the Jewish community says to Oscar, take a look at the lives that you have saved. And they give him a ring, and on the ring is an inscription from the Hebrew Talmud. And it says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire. See, our focus is not to be on what is impossible for us and what we cannot do. Our focus is to be on what God has graciously given us and what we can do to share with others. See, the danger of the 10 euro illustration is that we see it as it's like a financial transaction. We can set up a direct debit. We can throw money in a basket. We can put money in an envelope. We can phone one of the sort of children in need helplines if you have that sort of thing. And that's it done. That's our transaction complete. But please see the heart of the message. It's not about just the financial payoff. It's not about putting ourselves in the okay with the Almighty, about doing something that's right because we have to do it, about giving so much because, you know, it belongs to us in the first place and he should really be thankful. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. And we are called to serve God's purpose in every generation, like David did. And God has appointed the days and the times in which we live, that we might serve his purpose in our generation. And so we're called to respond. And we're called to think about this world in need and lives in need. And how much we have. And how much we can share. And not simply look at others to do it. Or think that it can never be done. All things come from you. And of your own God we give you. And what we're going to do now is we're going to break up into some prayer stations around the room. And we're going to be thinking about, are we rich? Are we content? Are we generous? Do we worry about money? Because, see, the easy thing to do would be to stand up here and, in a sense, we represent the church. This is the problem. Here's the solution. Fill in this box and the problem will go away. But it's not about that, because we are the church and you are the church. And God is looking to transform our lives and our community so that this world will be transformed. So this is a time to reflect on who you are, on what God has graciously given you, on what you can graciously give in return. Because all things come from God. And it's simply of what He has given us that we give back to Him. So we're going to break up now. On the screen overhead, you can see where what the four prayer stations are saying. There's one here at this pillar. There's one at the back. There's one up at the front. And the third's over here. Now, I think you can make your own way around each of the prayer stations. You can go to one, you can go to all four. But please take the time to reflect on where you are, on where we are as a church and as people, and what God is calling us to do, imploring us to do. He desires our generosity. So I'll hand over to Rob.
We're going to do, as Barry says, is the four prayer stations. And at the end of all of our services together, we have a prayer ministry. But in the creative space, we try to make it much more inclusive, whereby people can wander around to the different prayer stations. And we have four people that will be leading those prayer stations. And if they just want to stand up, that would be great. There's Scott, who is at this prayer station here. There's Johnny with all the Bibles, who's here. There is Patrick Boland, who is at that one at the back. And Orla, who's coming through the crowd now, is at this one. So let's all stand together. And if you have any questions, go to those four. Ravi's going to be playing some music in the background. And just engage with it and respond from what you've heard. Look at the stimuli that the guys have put on the pillars. And let's begin to pray as God leads us and as God inspires us to kind of respond in whichever way we see fit. So let's start moving around the different pillars and beginning to pray. And we'll come back in about 10, 15 minutes or so to finish up. So Ravi, if you could, yeah.